Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Morning Hookup on ESPN Lincoln.
Well, I beat the drum and hold the phone. The sun came out today. We're born again. There's new grass on the field. Around the third and headed for home. It's a brown-eyed handsome man. Anyone can understand the way I feel. Oh, put me in cold.
Welcome back in the Morning Hookup. Boy, yes, love that song. I missed it last week, the debut of Brett Jody back with us. They're in Chicago right now, so we're waiting on that phone call.
That's right.
We're waiting on it. We're watching the line.
Yeah.
Coach might be taking a nap.
Almost all interviews, I call them.
Yes, he calls us.
He is the only one that we wait on him.
Baller move.
And that is fine with us.
That is fine with us because he is the head man. I want to ask him something. I can't wait till he calls because I want to ask him when he comes on if he's ever looked up, just typed his name in and saw his Wikipedia. It comes up. He has a Wikipedia page.
Oh, he does.
Yeah, I hit it, and it's the best thing ever. I want to ask him if he's ever done it, and why there's a picture of him. The picture of him. Look at the picture when you look it up.
Okay.
Why is that the picture? You see it?
I'll look it up right now.
This is incredible.
I think I looked it up before. Him yelling at.
He's just yelling at an umpire.
That was when he. That was when he was with the Patriots.
Yeah, I want to ask him, like, is that the...
Yeah, if he remembers that.
Also,
it looks like he's about to get thrown out,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, doesn't it, guys? His arm looks like it's raised.
It does. It looks like it's raising in at that moment, like he's ready to toss him.
Never seen him like that.
Yeah. Well, there were some times last season where...
Never seen him, yeah.
No, Coach had to get mad.
There's been times. Also, maybe we can ask him if back in his day, if he was when he was at South Carolina... If he would have partook in the NIL.
Yeah, right. You said get South Carolina.
He was in. He went to the University of South Carolina.
Oh, he's a Gamecock.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. Coach, dial us up.
He'll be here. At U.S. Open, PGA Championship. To me, they're kind of the same thing.
No, not really.
Well, Hooks, they kind of act like the same thing.
I mean, totally different names.
Yeah, it is. Well, actually, they both have championship in it.
True.
But to me, they kind of act like the same thing. The Masters trumps everything. Obviously, the Open is way different. But the PGA and the U.S. Open, it's, you know, to me, they're kind of similar.
What does the leaderboard look like right now? Oh, boy, McIlroy's on a roll.
He is looking really good.
I think he's leading, isn't he?
He is. Did not take him.
Four in a row, by the way. Four. That's four. Count them. Four in a row.
One thing I want to ask Coach about, because I know he pitched, and I know you pitched. Did you ever throw sliders?
Mm-hmm.
You did. Okay, so what was your average velocity there?
No, not like Coach Jody's. I don't even know.
Well,
like,
no, do you remember? Just give me a number.
I would get into the 80s a little bit.
80s?
Yeah.
Okay. Because, you know, guys in the MLB are throwing like...
It's silly.
90, mid-90s sliders.
It's kind of crazy. It is kind of crazy.
But why is that? So I
don't know. Bigger, faster, stronger.
Is it a hard pitch to throw hard?
No. Just at the angle at which you throw it.
I guess I don't. I'm not quite sure on the whole pitching mechanics.
We might have to do another video teaching you the slider.
Maybe.
Got the curveball down.
But I want to know why it's so amazing that these guys are pitching at that velocity with sliders.
Well, it's not. It's that. It's college as well. I mean, it's everywhere. It's college. It's pros. Like, you know.
I want to ask Coach Jody that if he's ever seen or heard of that.
So
that's all coming up. We'll give it some time. You may have to reach out and see what's going on with Coach. They are up in Chicago. I think they have a game coming up today And I'll double check this. I think it's at 3 o'clock today. It's at 6 tonight. I was way off. 6 o'clock tonight, they will have the final game in Chicago against the Dogs. They're 1-1 with the Dogs right now. Then they head to Gary South Shore tomorrow. Got the three games there, and then they return home next Tuesday, 11:05. So a little day game action there on Tuesday against Sioux City. So Sioux City comes to town. That was always a team last year that, you know, they, I know they had a good season last year, and we always had a few good games against Sioux City.
Yeah. They're off to a decent start right now, by the way. Saw Dogs 3-2, according to the Dogs.
Top
website.
Of the division.
Yeah, they're tied there. They're all tied. There's three teams tied, all at 3-2, Lincoln, Fargo.
Such a long season.
It's long, but it's quick. Like, the number of games they play in the number of days.
So, like,
it's insane.
Not many days off.
No, not many days off. And you know, ask him about a few things. He's got some hot starting guys they're hitting. We're in communication, so stay tuned.
All right.
We're in communication with Coach.
Do you know, I wonder if, like, since they've already played one 11:30 a.m. game, and they play another one, like I said, next Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
In baseball, is that?
That is, boy, that game. I believe that next game, that Tuesday game, is the 11th. I think that's the fifth grade game.
Are you, the 24th?
I think so. Let's look.
It is an 11 o'clock game, so that would make sense.
I think
sense.
That's like the LPS, yes, LPS day.
Oh, boy.
11:05. They'll be packed house fifth graders.
Yeah, that's always a
packed
fun
house.
Time. It's always a fun day.
Yeah, better.
So, but I wonder if the 11 o'clock, is that changes things in baseball? Like, you know, if that speeds up processes, I don't
routines,
know.
Routines, getting up early, kind of get going a little bit quicker. Yeah, I bet, for sure. But you just take it and plant it differently. I mean, obviously, these guys, especially in this league, they're really set on 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock.
Yeah, right.
Unless it gets to a Sunday and then it adjusts. But, man, having to play a Tuesday at 11:05. They're not used to that.
No, I wouldn't think so. But I want to ask Coach about that as well. A lot of stuff I want to ask Coach about. He'll be joining the show any minute.
Mm-hmm.
Got to make it out to a game soon.
Yeah, I know. We're going to be getting out soon. We've had baseball and stuff in our way a little bit. Man, but he's got some guys that are off to some, like, good hitting starts right now. Oh, phone line is ringing.
Hello, Coach Jody, is that you?
Hello? What's going on, guys? There
What's up, is. Coach?
Coach Jody.
How I gotta get you? Back on the schedule, you know what I mean?
I know, we're good. We were like, maybe he's in Chicago. Maybe he's on Michigan Avenue or something.
A lot of things in Chicago to get in trouble with, right?
Yeah. What's on the road is on the road, okay. Hey, Coach, I want to ask you this fun one. Because obviously, you know, we do our research and hang out, and we like to know who our guys are. And it's Coach Jody. Have you ever typed in your name and looked at your Wikipedia page just for fun?
You know, I have some nephews that do that, and they tell me certain things on there and stuff like that. But no, I looked at my stats not too long ago. Probably it's been a year or two ago, I guess now. But no, I don't really Google myself. I just have people that come up to me and tell me they have. Most time they see this. Ejection or whatever
yes.
comes up one of the first things. Yeah, that's what I hear about a lot, apparently. So that's what I'm known for. Out of all the things I've done, I'm known for an ejection.
That's what I was going to ask you about. The picture is like, it looks like you're with Somerset at the time. It's in 18 is when this picture was. Like, that's the picture they give you of being ejected, it looks like.
How about that? Yeah.
Like, the guy's got his right arm raised.
It kind of went somewhat viral, I guess, in my daughter's school where they found out she's homeschooled, but she just went to middle school this year, a public school this year for the first time. So she came home and told me that people figured out that her dad played baseball or whatever, and then they started finding this video, and so they think I'm kind of famous in the school or whatever, and so they look at her and say, "Tell your dad I said hello and I love the video and all this stuff." So it's kind of comical.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Hey, I also want to ask you, because it's a different world, especially in the college ranks right now with the NIL stuff. Would you be would you have tried to take advantage of it when you were at South Carolina to get some kind of deal to get a little name, image, likeness?
I mean, look, if they're giving out free money, I'll take some. You know what I mean?
Yes.
That's a whole other subject. I think it's gone. It's already, you know, just inflated beyond, you know, something that I think it should go to. It's a little bit ridiculous, I think. I do think that players should be rewarded somewhat, especially guys that maybe, you know, maybe they're just known really well in college and really good college players, but maybe they're not going to go to the next level to be rewarded, you know, monetarily. But you're also being rewarded with that scholarship. And a lot of times if you're doing well in a school, you can write your ticket for your future as far as, you know, employment and stuff like that around that school environment and stuff like that. Cause there's so many, you know, donors and people with money that can help you out with your future employment and stuff. So there's a lot of positives anyway, just being a you know, athlete in college and getting the free education. So I think what they're getting now is a little bit ridiculous, but I do think, you know, maybe you sell a bunch of jerseys or something, you get a certain percentage off of that, so you get some walking around cash or things like that. But it's basically just legalizing, you know, payments for players now. Because I mean, do you really have to do a car commercial to be paid for it, or can you just, you know, use using your name or using your face for a second, and you can pay anything you want to for that? Mm-hmm. So it's going to the highest bidder, and I don't like the way it's moving, but. Like I said, that's a whole nother conversation. But yes, and yeah, if somebody wanted to pay me to use, you know, for me to do something, I would love to do it. Absolutely, I'll do it now. How about that? If anybody wants to use me now, we can do that. But
we're talking to someone. I love it. Started, coach. There it is. Soft Dogs manager Brett Joe. Put him in a commercial.
Put him in a commercial, man.
Let's do it. I had a, speaking of Googling my name or whatever, I don't know if I got a hamburger commercial on there that was done at the Somerset Field or whatever. And I threw in a Pulp Fiction line at the end of that thing. I said, that's a tasty burger. You know how they say it. You know,
yeah,
Samuel says that or whatever. So,
that's money. Man, we now have new intro ideas for coach.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, man. Thank you for giving us that.
Yeah, appreciate it.
I'm giving you all kind of fuel, man. Yeah, do what you want to. Be creative.
We're talking to Salt Dogs manager Brett Jody. Coach, the season is underway, man. Top of the division, you know, 3-2 start for the Dogs. I know you guys had a loss yesterday against Chicago. You got the rubber match coming up today. But so far, you know, these first few games, what are you learning about the team? I know you already have some guys that you know about, but you have some new guys, and what are you learning from them?
Yeah, and I guess the phrase is right now, this early in the season, just kind of weather the storm. And what I mean by that is, you know, we did give away one yesterday. We actually got back into it and took the lead, but we need to expand these starters. And this is something going into the season I was a little nervous about as far as not really having a long guy or an extra starter. And that's kind of what you need. That's what Chicago had yesterday. That, you know, their starter only went, I think, 3 or something like that. I don't know exactly, but they brought in a guy and he threw, I think, 3 1/3 innings out of the pen. And that really helps. And we just don't have that guy right now. So we're kind of overusing the pen a little bit, you know, waiting to spread out these starters where they can go a little deeper in ball games. And that's really going to help us. And because we have a lot of guys that are better at going 1 inning or 1 1/3 or something like that. We don't really have guys to go 2 or 3 out of the pen. So, so we're trying to get through that. And then, as far as the batting order, you know, the guys from last year are really coming in and doing a good job. I think they're comfortable, and you see it across the league, guys that are really good hitters that just aren't, you know, putting up those numbers yet. And it's early, and that happens. And once they get comfortable and get into the rhythm of things, it really changes. So like I said, the phrase is weather the storm right now. Try to win series the best way you can, you know, and then try to maybe get everybody clicking and maybe make a few moves if you need to solidify some things or make things a little stronger. And if you can win series during that time and then maybe actually start playing well collectively later on, then you got a real chance. But I am happy with what we're accomplishing so far. And even though yesterday was a lopsided victory for Chicago, it still only counts as one game, which is a good thing. So we just need to get out there today and try to take a hold of the series, and I'll be extremely happy with that. So, but we do have some moves we need to make. I'm looking now at a few things we need to change, and you know, hopefully we can accomplish that.
Hey, Coach, I want to ask, because it is a difficult position to be in, because you get new players, you lose guys, you lose, one, you know, big clubhouse leader in Kurt Smith. What's the method to the madness? Because you don't have a whole lot of time when these guys get together to make them, you know, not make them, but help them mesh. Are there things that you guys and you and your staff do to try to, you know, to promote that team culture stuff?
Well, yeah, and you're exactly right. We had basically 7 days of spring training, which is ridiculous. And I was telling the assistant coaches, I've told them every step of the way, but even again yesterday, I'm like, look, you have to come to the field every day, like locked in, ready to go, high energy, and like not missing a detail, because it's constant coaching. And, you know, you can kind of get away with some of those things even in the big leagues, right? Those guys know what they're doing. You coach them a little bit, but they know what they're doing and stuff. And even in Somerset, you know, we had some teams that were more veteran than others, and some teams didn't need as much coaching as others, but here, with the amount of young guys you have, you're constantly looking at things and trying to help them out and adjust. And I'm not even talking about next level stuff. I'm just talking about stuff that should be understood maybe, or just trying to get them caught up on whatever. And I mean, we got a catcher that caught yesterday. That's his second career game he's caught in professional baseball. He's very athletic. He's great, but he's got a lot of those intangibles to learn. So he can block and he can throw, but that's a very little part about catching. Actually, there's so many intangibles about the catching position. You know, how to game call, how to control the run game, how to work with a pitcher. You know, just how to work with an umpire and talk to him when the zone's not quite right. You know, there's a lot of things that go on through it. And I can go on and on about it. I've already talked to him about it, but it's, you know, we're trying to get the game to slow down for him. So that's just one example. And then base running, you know, we had some base running mistakes earlier in the year, and approach at the plate and guys trying to do too much and pitchers, you know, whatever. You can go on and on and on, but there is a learning curve, and we had to do the same thing last year, and you're hoping to catch these guys up and get them up to speed. And so I always say there's a lot of good athletes out there, but how fast or how successful they'll be depends on how fast they can adapt and grow and actually learn and use the tools we're giving them and implement those tools. So if they're inconsistent with those, or you got to tell them over and over and over again, it's going to be pretty inconsistent on the field. But if you're able to tell these guys that and see the growth, so you can take a college player, I don't care if he's not very experienced or not, take a college player, and if they actually take what you're telling them and put it into use and actually become consistent with that, they can become some of your best producers, greatest players. So it really doesn't depend on the level of play. You hope that those guys that have been in professional baseball for such a long time, like a Kurt Smith or an Altman or whatever, they already have those intangibles, and most of the time they do. But then some of the other guys, even if they played for a little while, sometimes they don't, and you have to figure that out and try to see who can adapt and grow and become consistent with what you're telling them. And that's really the name of the game.
Yeah, you got the player side for sure, but also talk about the transition of the new staff. TJ was already there. Adam came on. But you also lose a vet in Tommy Gregg. Talk about what the transition's been like from there as well. But I believe Adam was at Somerset for a while, right?
He is. He played for me for 5 years, I believe, and then he became a player coach for me, and then he also coached in Korea. He's been coaching some college ball, too. So he sees it, and he's really valuable with he was a great catcher. He was a high-round pick as a catcher as well. So he's really going to help that out. And then he can help pitchers, too, because he thinks about game calling and stuff. And then he's also working with swings and stuff. And I always say, like, you have to be, you know, well-versed in a lot of things to coach independent ball, because there is no, you know, the money isn't there to just say, all right, you're coaching hitters and you're coaching catchers and you're the base running coach and you're pitching and all that stuff. So you really have to be good at a lot of things, and you have to be looking at all those things and spend that time. And I've already been late going out to third base about two or three times this year in a short amount of time, because I'm sitting there talking to the pitchers and the catchers and trying to get them on the same page, and I'm in-depth in conversation, and somebody's like, hey, you got to go out there. And I'm like, oh, I forgot about that, you know. So then you got to go over there and do that thing or whatever. So it's you get pulled a little thin or whatever, but these guys, both TJ and Adam, are very good at doing multiple things, and you know, that's been very valuable. We set yesterday, actually, after the game, since it was an early game, we sat around this table in the lobby of the hotel and just kind of, you know, we're texting players and coaches and stuff like that, and just trying to see what moves we need to make or see if there's anything out there and stuff like that. So I think Butch Hobson came over and he said, I call this the war room, you know, when you sit around and do that stuff. So it's just the things you got to do, and you know, trying to all be on the same page, and all you know, take up some of the slack and try to make this team as best as we can.
We're talking to Salt Dogs manager Brett Jody. You focus on some things that, you know, you kind of want to change here early on, but what do you like so far? What have you seen from the team that you think is good so far?
Well, I think our starting pitching, I think, is good. Once we get stretched out there, I think they're going to give us a chance to win almost every day. I like, I've already switched one of our starters. He's going to be a bullpen guy, and our you know, somewhat closer is going to be a starter now in Delano. So I've switched kind of in Delano already this early in the season. And that was kind of to do with what the players wanted to do as well. So we're switching that. So we got some moving parts there. So we're going to see how that works. And then I like our lefties out of the pen right now a lot. That's Stephon Moore and David Zaz have been huge for us so far in the season. They've already gone out there. I think they pitched three out of the five games and got multiple innings a couple times. So they've been huge for us. And then, you know, just need a little more, or need to solidify a little bit more, just the eighth inning and ninth inning type roles. So that's something coming in that we have an idea on paper of who's going to be, you know, your setup and closer and stuff like that. But we've already bounced around the closer already in this short season. So that's something that Brandon Cunniff will now be the closer. And that's something that he's a big leaguer, and he's been very experienced with that, and we hope he can kind of, you know, take that role and run with it. And obviously he has a mentality for it, and he's had a lot of success doing it. So just trying to solidify those things. And that's something that, you know, every year you have to do. I remember, you know, we were up, I think, 7-0 against Kansas City last year, and I brought in Jake Hohensey and Big Cat Anderson and brought those guys into pitch. And I think next thing you know, it's 7-5 or something. I'm like, wait a minute, those were some of our best two in camp. And they wound up being some of our best two anyway throughout the season. But that particular game, they weren't that sharp, you know. So it's tricky, and you throw some guys out there and you think they can get the job done, and maybe it doesn't start off that way, but then maybe it becomes that way later. So a lot of feeling around process and trying to see what you have. But like I said, just hopefully we can win series while we're doing that, and then solidify some true positions and roles and start running then with the season and hopefully go on a streak.
Coach, when you talked to Delano and you were flipping his role, did he also mention that he was 2-for-3? He's leading the team.
How about that? Yeah, I mean, we fired him in there yesterday, and it's so tough to get him. I mean, he was our closer to start the season, and I'm thinking, you know, okay, he's playing second base, and how tired is he going to be? And then we got to go warm him up, and if he has to hit, it's tough to warm up, and you're basically playing high school ball right there, you know, trying to do it. And he's trying to get really good hitters out, too, after playing maybe, you know, 8 innings or whatever in the field. So will he be too tired and stuff like that? So all those things weigh into your decision-making, and then if you would happen to give away a ball game because he wasn't sharp on the mound, you know, it's a tough deal. So I do want to get him in the lineup every now and then, but we got to be careful with that. Now he's in the rotation, so, you know, maybe he'll be able to play. It's hard to tell. We'll have to fire him in there at times, but he's going to be so sore from pitching, you know, throwing 100 pitches, that it's tough to get out there and play the field as well. So maybe we DH him or something. But, yeah, he had a great game yesterday, really had some good ABs for us and drove in some runs. So that was really good to see. And we know he has it in him. I think he was a finalist for the Golden Spikes Award last year out of college. So we know he's very good on the mound for us, and he definitely has potential at the plate as well. And that'd be great to have a stick like that to go along with some of our other guys that are swinging it pretty good right now.
Hey, Coach, back when you were pitching, did you throw a slider? Was that in your arsenal?
I learned a cutter at the end of my AA year. I believe it was in 2000.
Okay.
My last bullpen of the season, Tom Filer took me out there. I was actually asking him. I said, I can tell you this now, I guess, because nobody will get in trouble. But I said, you know, Files or whatever I called him, I said, I want you to help me with a slider or cutter. And he said, don't tell anybody I told you this, which I thought was weird. And I said, no, that's fine. So we threw a bullpen, and I was done pitching for the year, but I wanted to throw a bullpen just to kind of take it into the offseason with me. And he showed me just a little bit of a cutter, and I kind of ran with that and made it kind of a cutter slash slider, and I just was able to make it break however I wanted to, big or small or down or sideways or whatever with what I did with my fingertips and wrist out front. But he showed me that, and then he told me only to throw it to lefties, though. And I remember starting AA that next year, and he was the pitching coach again. And I remember to this day, like, running off the field after an inning, you know, got an out or a ground ball to short or something. He was like, "And what was that pitch?" I was like, "That was the cutter." And he was like, "Only throw it to lefties." I'm like, "Nope, I'm going to throw it to everybody." So it was pretty funny. But I was a fastball, curveball, changeup, cutter guy, pretty much all of pro ball. I had some other pitches that I won't talk about that I came up with that I quit throwing. But, I mean, I invented a pitch called The Thing in college, which is a whole nother conversation. But
The Thing, baby.
Yeah. I had some stuff, man. I had some different things. I threw a split finger way back in the day, which was a good pitch, but I quit throwing that because of elbow problems. So, yeah, anything you can invent, man. I was trying to see if you can get some outs. I threw a one-seamer a couple times, you know, so... But I wasn't a straight slider guy. I was more of a cutter slider type of guy, but I learned that in 2000.
Yeah, well, the reason I ask is because these guys in the MLB, I mean, they're throwing like mid-90 sliders. There's even a guy, Hunter Green, who has hit 100 throwing a slider. I mean, that's just crazy.
It's stupid.
Yeah. See, you wouldn't be talking to me right now because I would have maxed out at high school ball, I believe, compared to these pitchers nowadays. It's crazy, man, how they're throwing so hard and with such good stuff.
Coach, last one before we get you out of here, man. We appreciate your time. I know you guys on the road, and we'll be welcoming you back next Tuesday, I believe, as you'll take the old LPS fifth grade green. Oh, boy, that'll be fun with a lot of fifth graders in the stands.
11 a.m., baby.
Yeah, you know what? I have two more for you, if you don't mind. One, I know we've only had a few games at home. Is there any this new Bat Boys, are they doing any good? Are we getting them in
the
shape?
Man, they're doing great this year. Yeah, they're doing great. I thought they've been on the ball and been on time and really had their stuff together. I thought we always enjoy them too, and the players really get along with them and stuff. But yeah, I thought they've been great this year so far. So it's been awesome.
That's awesome. My kid will be back out there. He's had some baseball going on, but he'll be out there. He'll get his
first,
his
debut. Look forward to it.
Yeah, it'll be coming up. The last one, because Will brought this up and we were talking about before the segment. You guys are, I mean, you're typically playing games after 6 o'clock on most days, unless it's a Sunday during the season. But what's it like? I mean, because obviously you got to get up early. Like, these dudes are probably like 11 o'clock. Come on, Skip. We got 11 o'clock. Well, like, the routine changes at that point a little bit, doesn't it?
Well, so it's funny because Matt Hunterman, our trainer, sent me the schedule for the Chicago series and the Gary series and sent all the times. And it was like 7, 11:36, 6:45, 4, and 2.
Yep.
And I'm like, I sent on group me to the team. I said, all right, guys, so we're trying to get on the schedule here, and this will be the opposite of that. But I said, don't worry about it. Figure it out. Let's win it anyway, you know, or something like that. Everybody kind of laughed at it because you do want to get on a schedule and kind of get on a pattern where you kind of get used to getting up and eating and working out maybe and going to the field and kind of getting in that so-called routine. But I guess I'm happy there's 11 a.m. games this early in the season because we did have spring training and we were kind of getting up early there. So nobody's really gotten on a schedule yet. And not to make excuses, I think that hurt us a little bit yesterday. We left at 6 in the morning for Chicago, played that first night. We were fortunate enough to win. And then we, you know, you really want to sleep in that next day. But you have to, you know, we went back to the room real quick and got up early and going to the field again. And you know, and we got our butts kicked yesterday. And you know, you wonder if that's a little bit to do with it. Because I always said that second day of travel is your worst day where you kind of come out and it's tough, you know. So I thought, you know, a lot of our pitchers did not throw – like I've seen them throw in the past. So I'm hoping, you know, that's a little bit of it. But, you know, regardless, you got to find a way to get this done. There's going to be overnight bus trips and lack of sleep. And you're not going to be at your peak physical, you know, I guess you're not going to feel up to your top self most of the time during the season. It's just crazy. Unless you really have to be disciplined in what you eat and what you're drinking and stuff like that. But, again, you can't get the proper rest. And as I'm getting older, too, it's tough to sleep the right amounts. You know, it used to be easy, man. I just whenever I fall asleep, you know, just go to sleep and wake up and feel fine. But now it's like I can't fall asleep or I get up early, and I guess it's just me getting old. But so it's tough to get on those patterns, you know. And I was watching a commercial the other day. It said, make sure you get on a sleeping pattern and a routine. And I'm like, yeah, I wish we could, dude. You can't do that in this profession. So. It's very tough, but you got to make the most of it. And I guess to have these early games this early in the season is better now than later on after you played, you know, 15 night games and all of a sudden you got to get up at 8 a.m. and get out there and perform that early. And it's not really the getting up part, it's the performing that early. I mean, who's ready to do that, you know? So, but right now this early in the season, it's, you know, we'll deal with it and it should be okay.
All right, Coach, man, we take up a lot of your time, especially being on the road. You guys take care of yourself, travel safe, and can't wait to see you guys back here with a lot of W's on the road trip.
Look forward to it, brother. Sounds good.
Thanks Coach. Right there, your manager, Salt Dogs, Brett Jody. Boy, that was good stuff.
Tonight, 6 o'clock, final game in Chicago. You can hear it right here on ESPN Lincoln.
All right, good stuff right there. And if you missed anything, like we said, go to the podcast, go to ESPNLincoln.com. Check out, we'll have those up right just shortly after the show. Also, if you're just going to go there, don't forget to register for the Beef Up Your Backyard. You can do it once a day. We've got people tweeting it out right now. They are trying to land their spot.
You get extra entries.
Extra entries.
When do you do that?
Yes, you do. There's your secret. Or go to Capitol Patio and Flame Shop, get supplies, do it there. Speaking of that, might as well go ahead and do it now. 402-466-3776, 402-466-ESPN. Caller,